listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A. No info for the DEA. Federal agents mad because I'm flagrant. Tap my cell and the phone in the basement. My team supreme, stay clean. Triple beam, lyrical dream. I be that. Cat, you see it, all events bent. Gats in holsters, girls on shoulders. Playboy, I told ya.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
First of all, I did not realize how apropos those fucking lyrics were for Donald Trump. So, I think he just found a new jam,
right? That's his bop
besides Gold Digger. But you guys should recognize that voice. It is the voice of Donald Trump. He decided to take a busy day off of tweeting and hang out with us. Now, it's my man JL Covan from Making Podcasts Great Again. Still the best Trump impression in the game.
For real.
You guys should all be listening to that podcast. It's amazing. It's funny every week.
Yes, it is.
Last week they had Jim Gaffigan on as a guest. I mean, y'all blowing up over there, JL, man. How's it going?
It's going well, although you'll be happy to know that since Mr. Gaffigan, who we appreciate being on the show, did not flex his social media muscle in our direction, your episode from the week before is now number one.
Oh!
And your second episode on the show is now the number two. Oh! Most listened to.
Oh! In your face, Jim Gaffigan, I'm a bigger draw than you, buddy. Okay?
You out here like Beyonce. I'm number one and number two.
Don't let selling out Carnegie Hall fool you, Jim. Okay? I moved the needle around here. Nah, but that's crazy though. I thought the episode was so funny, man. It's, dope that, y'all were even able to get him, man. Cause I mean.
Yeah. No, it's very nice of him to do it. We appreciated it.
Yeah. I've been a guest on there twice as, the kind of fill-in host, and we've had a great time. It's been so super fun.
Yes.
But I'm a fan, so I listen to the show as much as, more than I've been on it. And I always look forward. That's one download I always look forward to every week is like,
thank you very much.
Yeah, and it says a lot too, because in this fucking era, to be able to still take something that Trump is doing and make it funny is very hard. There are people with teams of writers that do weekly and daily shows that can't quite get it, you know, and then JL comes in and knocks out the park weekly. So
to be truthful, I have no intention of doing it past January 20th, 2021.
Right.
Because if he gets reelected, it's like the joke's over. Like I gotta find a safe spot to live.
Right.
Like, because this country, you can make a mistake. I mean, you shouldn't even make that mistake once, but it's not a mistake if it happens again.
Yeah, you almost need him to find out about the show and get mad and then tweet about it. And it'll become the number one, like, that'll be how you come get your rise to power. Everybody be like, yo, who is this fucking guy that made Trump mad?
Cause right.
It's the only way. Well, listen.
And then when he has somebody assassinate me, all my albums go to the top of the chart. Win-win.
Yeah. You can be the comedy Nipsey Hussle. Everybody be like, oh man, he was such a great guy behind the scenes. You guys had no idea. But yeah, check out the podcast, Making Podcasts Great Again. It's an amazing podcast. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. I enjoy it every week. You're listening to the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search for the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. If they're nice, we read them on the air. If they're not nice, fuck you. Why'd you do that? Don't even take the time, buddy.
Mm-mm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and the unofficial sport.
What about?
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's show is, of course, everyone's favorite show of the week. It's the show where we recap Game of Thrones, the number one mm-hmm. show on TV. It was a big week for Game of Thrones. And we're going to get right into it. I'm going to play the intro song real quick, though. Yo.
I love the drums on this song.
Wait till a HBCU band gets a hold of this if they haven't already.
Come on, it's gonna be flames.
Holy shit.
Can I say one thing about the song?
Mm-hmm.
I love the, I don't know if you've noticed, at the end of like a few episodes every season, they do almost like a remix of it.
Yes.
Like at the end of episode one of this season, they do like a remix of it, and I like that just as much.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with the production values of the music. The music this episode was tremendous. Like, this is Marvel-level music. Like, when I went to see Infinity War and Endgame, the music is as much a character as everything that's happening on the screen. Like, they just perfectly accompany every moment. Game of Thrones, succinctly, like, for 8 years or whatever, has just consistently had, like, the perfect music go along with every moment. And I feel like this week was probably the best they've ever had as far as music. That last montage with just a piano playing, you're just like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. So great. All right. So this episode was called The Long Night. It's episode 3 of season 8. It's the highest rated I think they've ever had.
Yep.
I want to say I saw 17 million in articles. They got 12 million on Wiki, but either way, it's the highest that they've ever had. So congratulations to them. Everyone was ready for this motherfucking episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, they built up, they did the hype. We waited 2 weeks for the Super Bowl to pop off. And I got to get you guys' overall opinions. Karen, what'd you think about this episode in general?
Oh, I loved it. It was good.
All right. Jeff.
I of course loved it, though I the one thing I will say is, just in terms of pure battle filming, I think I preferred Battle of the Bastards. Like Battle of the Bastards, this episode felt tense because of everything that was at stake,
right?
But Battle of the Bastards, they made it tense just by, like, it was claustrophobic and all the long shots and, you know, John chopping down like 10 guys in one like continuous shot. Like, it was like a very tense episode to just sit through,
right?
But it was great, obviously.
For me personally, I think this is one of my favorite episodes. Battle wise I think you're right, there's a couple, like Hard Home was just, Jesus Christ, like, because you can never get the feeling back that you had when you saw those first battles, like, you know, because you just don't know who's going to survive and whatnot. Hard Home was up there. Battle of the Bastards definitely is up there strategy-wise, and it sounds like saving the day with the Knights of the Vale. But something about this battle for me, this is the most scared I've ever been for everybody, because it was like half, it's like half horror movie, half war movie. Especially the way they use dark and light in this shit. You're just like, where is everyone? What is happening? It's claustrophobic. I thought it was probably one of the most intense episodes they've ever had, especially from start to finish.
Yes, and I will agree with JL about Battle of the Bastards. The thing that made that beautiful was the fact that it was intense, and a lot of people took a lot of L's really quickly. It was like shit was happening kind of back in the background, like boop, 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 like something was constantly happening. And it was like, you took an L, and you took an L, and you're going down, and your head is gone. And it was one of those things where, for me, I enjoyed that one. But as far as, like, the suspense, this one was more suspenseful.
It also took on an element of survival horror in the middle. Like, they really just whipped their dicks out on us this week. They were just like, no one else is doing anything like this. We're giving you like The Walking Dead for 20 minutes in the middle of this episode.
Come on.
And then we're just gonna flip back to dragons and shit. And you know what? You guys are still not gonna know who's gonna survive. So, all right, let's get into the breakdown. I'll try to go fast. You guys hop in where you feel like you got commentary. I'll try to stop and give some breaks as well. This was the most nervous I've been for the start of an HBO show since Lawrence and Issa fucked on that couch when they broke up.
Come on!
Like, I was like, what the fuck is gonna happen next? And so we cut to the Winterfell, and we're looking at Samwell's hands, and they shaking. He's literally shooketh, as the kids say on Twitter. And then somebody hands him a couple dragon glass weapons, and he's standing there, and they like, move, man, like, get the fuck on.
I was surprised he was out there.
Right. I mean, look, the war of northern aggression is about to start, and you are just sitting out here knowing that you barely survived these other battles, and Sam walks towards where everyone's being directed to the crypt. And so I assumed take your ass to the crib with you and your family. You know, you ain't got no business out here, Sam. You done gave your daddy sword away.
I mean,
you gotta protect these books.
Right.
Right.
I'm out here curing AIDS and shit. They need my mind. I ain't got no business out here fighting.
And instead, he decided to go towards the battle. So he went to go stand on the front lines with everyone. And we get a montage of a bunch of people. The Unsullied getting in formation. Mm-hmm. Lyanna Mormont was getting her troops in order. She was out there like Bobby Knight, coaching. Like, you call us a fucking zone? What's on the left side? And so she was yelling at everybody. Tyrion was grabbing his stuff to go to the crypt. Theon and the Ironborn escort Bran to the tree. Davos goes to the top of the castle where he's going to be like directing the signal to light the trench, which they brought up last week. Sansa and Arya at the top of the wall of the castle. And I'm same thing with Sansa. What are you doing outside?
Come on.
Come on, boo.
You ain't built from this.
You can't have a sass off with the Night King, right? Night King's not gonna come sit on your reading stoop and let you just talk down to him. This is a fight. But she was outside. I guess she wanted to see everything.
That, and I think she wanted to show that, hey, I'm out here with my people.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because remember when the King's Landing was under siege?
Joffrey, right?
Yeah, and well,
he didn't. Oh, I thought you were going to say when Dinklage said, or Imp said, you got to be out there for your men.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Joffrey punk ass was scared. But remember when Cersei was held up with Sansa and just talking shit and drinking wine as, like, the fucking King's Landing was about to get taken over by Stannis Baratheon, and if not for her father, Tywin Lannister, coming in the last second, saving all of King's Landing. Like, she was prepared to die in that crypt, like, with that wine and them people, like, I might have to drink some poison or something. And Sansa was like, you know, I'm gonna be outside with everybody. Just a complete, totally opposite than Cersei. So yeah, then, dragons fly overhead. We see Jon and Dany on the dragons, Grey Worm, Tormund, Beric, the Hound, Brienne, Jaime, Dolorous, Ed, Gendry, and Sam all on the front lines. Dolorous Ed still making jokes about Sam. Like, you up here, I know we gonna die, shit like that. I'm like, dude, you need to just be happy you got another body out here, homie.
Do you think the Dothraki at this point were doing like the glory prayer scene before they go to war at the end of Glory?
Yes, I want a whole movie about the Dothraki. First of all, why weren't they cold? I feel like we should have cut to we could cut to everybody in their armor and all that shit, and they're all like, we ready to fight. And then they should cut to the Dothraki, and they should be like, woo, shit, should have wore some shirts. But yeah, they was out there singing that, oh my Lord, Lord, Lord.
Come on.
Tell my kinfolk, yeah. We went down raping up.
So I was surprised to see Gendry woke up in time for the battle, because I thought Arya had blown his entire back out and he was gonna have to sleep that one off. But he was up there ready to fight, legs probably feeling like jello. And then Jorah and the Dothraki are at the front of the army.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at this army, it's like Jorah and the Dothraki, you know, those are like Dany's people. Mm-hmm. And then behind them, the Unsullied, also Dany's people. Mm-hmm. And then, like, kind of behind and up to the side of the Unsullied were, like, all the Winterfell people.
All the normal people like me.
Yeah.
Who ain't got no business with their asses out there.
Yeah, and some warriors, too. And so they're all out there, too, right? And so.
The guy I'm waiting to show up, and maybe this is a spoiler, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the guy who she used to fuck. Who, like, she sent to Marine, like the guy who's like a CrossFit instructor.
Yeah, my man, Dario Naharis.
Yeah, isn't this the time where it's like we need everybody?
Yeah, maybe he'll show up in King's Landing or some shit. Cause I ain't, either that or he just probably got hoes again. He chilling. Like, he probably just went back and got, what if he just went back and got on them hoes? It was like, hey man, you know what? That shit was crazy anyway. I don't know what she wanted from me. She was fucking with that Jorah dude. But yeah, so, Jorah and the Dothraki at the front. So then, in the middle of this battle, where everybody's like nervous, worked up, anticipation at all time high, hearts racing. A lone figure comes out of the darkness towards the army on horseback.
And I was like, who the fuck is this?
And not even going fast, just like creeping. And it's our girl, Melisandre, the witch. Melisandre is still alive. She back in the Westeros. She did tell Varys that she would come back because she had to die there. And she was like, hey, y'all, what's up?
How everybody doing? Y'all miss me?
Hey, girl. And then she told Jorah, she just walked over to him. And this shit was so lit. She walked over to Jorah and she was like, you know how to talk Dothraki? And he was like, yeah, I speak Dothraki. And she was like, cool. Tell them to raise their swords. And so he told the Dothraki people raise their swords. And then she touched one of the swords. And then when she touched the sword, she did like a Valyrian spell. And then everybody's sword in the Dothraki, the curvy swords, all lit on fire at the same time.
It was a beautiful scene.
And the Dothraki started chanting.
I feel the master.
They was ready.
Oh, y'all. I was so fucking hype in my house when they lit them swords on fire. I said, you know what the fuck was I worried about? Night King, King of Hearts, King of Diamonds, they all going down. Cavs info, right? I was like so excited when they lit them swords. I was like, we got the fire witch on our side. I don't even really like her like that, but I mean, fire versus ice niggas. I mean, this should be a game. Blouses, right? And then she topped it off with even more swag after she lit the swords. She then walked by Grey Worm and was like, Valar Morghulis. And then he did the head nod and was like, Valar Dohaeris. And then she walked on in the castle and Davos was like, everybody open the doors, let her in. She walked in. Davos ran downstairs because he told her he was going to kill her because remember she, put Shireen on fire, so he don't fuck with her.
Come on,
because Shireen taught him how to read. And she was like, hold up, player, put your guns up, you ain't gotta kill me, I'm dying tonight no matter what.
Yeah, she looked at, she was like, look, I done started the fire with the swords, I crit walked past the other dudes, and dog, I came ready to die. You put it like this, you ain't got to worry about it, it's gonna be taken care of,
right?
She didn't have sex, though. I was disappointed. I thought she'd go out with one more just random take off my robe. Who wants this? We're about to die.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought maybe she would give him some type of catfish sex. You know, that's her style. What if you have sex with her and you accidentally knock that necklace off? Like, oh.
That's deadly.
It's like, now I'm having sex with, like, the Crypt Keeper. No thanks.
That wouldn't be pull out game. That would just be like shrink out game.
Yeah.
Right. It would just go away.
Right. It turned to an innie. So, so then, after she says that to Jorah, she's like, look, I'm a die anyway, so you ain't even gotta kill me. And then she looked at Arya and Arya looked back. And that's when I realized, ain't this bitch on Arya list? I was like, oh, Arya might be killing her tonight, because maybe that's what she meant. I'm going to die. Her and Arya made eye contact. Arya don't fuck with her because she stole Gendry from her back when there was the Brothers Without Banners or whatever, the Brotherhood Without Banners. So I'm like, oh, so that's the prophecy. Arya going to kill her or something like that. But
what if she's just jealous because that was Gendry's first?
Right. I mean, she might have just been looking like, you fucked my
Your
man.
Old girlfriend is here.
Right. Don't worry.
I thought you didn't talk to her.
Don't be liking her Instagram pics.
Yeah.
And yet she knew you were here in the whole kingdom. She just knew that you were here tonight, and yet you're not sending ravens to that bitch.
Right. I know. Like, wow, wow. Out of all the nights, wow. She shows up tonight.
I feel like in the director's cut, we do have a scene with her looking at Gendry, and Gendry awkwardly looking away like, oh, God, no. I'd rather just fight the ice people, please get out of here. So then meanwhile the Dothraki, of course, they are all charged up and ready to go. now that they got flame swords. So them and Jorah both head towards
front line.
They are both on horses and they're like, let's go. And they just get ready to go. They charge off into the darkness. Now at this point, I do have to mention, because it's been very widely reported, but in case you don't watch the show, it was dark as fuck, y'all. Like, I'm talking like when motherfuckers come over unannounced to your grandmama's house and she make you turn off all the lights. Dark. Okay? Like, it was dark, dark. So, some people were complaining, or like, my TV, I can't see shit and all this stuff. I felt like it was on purpose.
Right, it was designed like that. We having a battle at night, so it is going to be dark. And right. It was suspicious too.
Right, not just at the dark, not just at night, but also just specifically they wanted you to feel like you are running into a void and you don't know what the fuck is out there.
Correct.
And the Night King, I believe, carries like the darkness with him, the cold with him. And it did make for a very scary ass battle to me. Because they're charging and they're all hyped up, but it was about this time when they're in the middle of the field that I'm like, I haven't seen the enemy yet. I don't know what the fuck
what it looks like or anything.
I'm all excited like they're gonna whoop his ass. Now I'm looking at the clock like it's only 9:03
and they running into the darkness.
So they run into the darkness, and keep in mind the show told us for seasons the night is dark and full of terrors. So I feel like when people are like, I can't believe it's so dark. I'm like, that shit was dark and full of terrors. I feel like prophecy delivered, nigga. I was scared. So anyway, they run into the dark and we just see them roll up on like the first thing and it's something huge. We don't even see what it
like
is.
One of the giants or something.
Yeah, like they couldn't see. And it was the thing where they couldn't
George
see.
George Mirasan.
Yeah. They couldn't see, that was the thing, they couldn't see shit until about 2 seconds away from hitting the motherfucking wall of bad things. So it wasn't like our swords lit the darkness and we finally could see the battlefield and now we can see who we're fighting. It was literally like, oh, I saw him and then the guy killed me. So they watch from a distance as the fighting is happening. Everybody that's not a Dothraki, watches as just light after light
started going out.
Just, I mean, they might as well blow them out like candles. Just swords.
Firefly Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, you know, the lights stop moving. It just gets dark. And the other thing I noticed too is when the swords went out, it actually got a little bit darker on the screen. Period. Like, the last sword goes out, and then like another extra set of darkness hits the battlefield. And they were also shooting like flaming cannonballs into this like abyss, and we never see them hit anything or anyone die. Like, you just see them land. So the next thing we see is
but can we mm-hmm. can we just say right there, and I know this has been talked about, mm-hmm. and I've never been in the military, but I've just read enough and listened to enough news. If you have dragons, you pound them from the air, mm-hmm. and then you send the troops in. This idea of like, we're going into the city with our like bows and arrows crew first. Mm-hmm. We have nuclear bombs in the sky, but we're going to go in with muskets first.
Tell them about it.
Soften them up.
Tell them about it, Dale.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, I know they have to do it for the plot, and it's not like I didn't enjoy it, but you go with the dragons first and foremost.
We needed we needed that shock and awe.
Right. Instead, they were like, we're going to – I mean, they sent in their, like, most primitive kind of – I mean, they're good warriors, but they're not even the Unsullied in terms of, like, training or weaponry. So they send them in first and just lose the whole – all they would have needed for next week is the Dothraki. Like, as Jaime had told Cersei, he said, these guys fight, like, better than anybody I've seen. So you just put them in the basement – save them for Cersei.
And look,
you lost them in 3 minutes.
Look, far be it from me versions, but I mean, now y'all know why Obama be droning people, man. Like, you gotta go with the air superiority first, man, because battle wise you're putting lives at risk just rushing in there, and these niggas took a L to start off, lost all the Dothraki, dog. We came
Danny off. And Jon Snow, to me, are like Mark Jackson coaching the Warriors. Mm. It's like, yeah, you won 50 games, but the next year somebody with a clue took over and won 67 games and the championship.
Exactly.
Like, you've got the personnel, you're not using them correctly.
And the Night King is basically Greg Popovich.
Like, yeah.
He is out there.
Same coaching. Skin.
Yep, same skin. probably hates Trump. So the other thing too is John and Danny have landed on like an overlook where they can see the battle. And so they're seeing like all the Dothraki get snuffed out. And they're like, you know, but the plan is John says to Danny, like, hey, remember we gotta wait for the Night King. And after all her Dothraki die, and then we see Jorah and a few other people hightailing it the fuck out of there.
Yeah, they were hauling ass. I was like, I don't know what they seen, but whatever the fuck it is, it was serious. He came back, blood was streaming down his face. I was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, he had a look too where he looked at Tormund, and Tormund looked back like, if that shit got him shook, then I don't know what the fuck is behind him.
He looked shook.
Right, so after that happens, Danny is like, I'm gonna get on my dragon. And John's like, but the Night King is coming. And Danny's like, the dead are already here, and took off on her dragon. And then you hear the horde of White Walkers before you see anything.
Yes.
And you just, it's
like me watching you playing a scary ass video game with the door shut. You'd be like, what the fuck is behind that? I don't know, but don't open it up.
Yeah, it was just so fucking scary, like hearing the motherfucking, just hearing them like running towards you without seeing them. And it's just like, it's like a stampede, you know, peering into this darkness. And so then, of course, they make it across the darkness and they just fucking launch themselves into the Unsullied. And the Unsullied is like trying to fight them off and shit. And the battle just turns into chaos. Like, close quarter fighting, niggas is getting tackled, Brienne got pushed down, and...
Brienne, for such a good fighter, I feel like I have her like... Every time she gets into some scuffle, you just hear, ah!
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every time she gets into a fight,
yeah,
as soon as it happens, she's just like, ah!
Yeah, she's very vocal. She's like Serena Williams playing tennis, right? Like,
where it's like, that's why Tormund likes her. He's like, oh, she's a screamer.
Yeah, he's like, this is what I'm into, the big woman. So then she gets tackled, but then she gets saved by Jaime. And this kind of thing happens throughout the entire fight. Like, I can't even name all of these. I'll try to remember the highlight ones, but like, a motherfucker getting tackled, another motherfucker saving them, and then like something happening, like that happens a lot. Danny and John fly over right as everybody's getting overwhelmed with the dragons and burn a whole bunch of the whites. And the light from the fire allows you to see more of them, and you're just like, this ain't shit. Like, y'all burned up a whole column of these motherfuckers, and it's just like
a sea.
Yeah, it's just like 20 more behind them, like, okay. but they're flying over trying to do that shit, and then John's from the back of his dragon sees those like the middle management White Walkers.
Yes. Like, the regional managers,
right? The district manager White Walkers are just like
VP of death.
Yeah. Like, they're on horseback and they're just like lined up off in the circle, like off they're lined up like off in the distance. And John's like, okay, I'm gonna take this dragon over there and burn these niggas up while I got a chance. And right when he went to do that, a big ass dark cloud of pure fucking cold that you just could not see through comes out of nowhere and envelops him and the goddamn dragon. Like, it just poofs over the whole battle, like just the whole little side of the battlefield gone. There's now zero visibility. The meteorologist at Winterfell about to get fired.
Come on, they should have predicted this.
You know, got a cold front coming in. And then Arya tells Sansa, go down to the crypt and here's a dragon glass dagger.
Right, because she was looking like, oh, shit about to get real.
Yeah.
You ain't about this life, baby.
Yeah, Arya knows that Sansa ain't got no fighting skills. Mm-hmm.
Be like, I love you, but I'm not trying to protect you and watch you die.
And I knew... Sansa, as much as that's my boo, she really looked at that dagger like, I don't know how to use it.
What am I supposed to do with this?
And Arya's like, you stick them with the pointy end. Like, it's not
It's not that complex.
It's not a Keurig, okay?
Right, that's like giving me a gun. What the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Just fucking stab something if you have to and get the fuck out of here. So then Sansa goes downstairs and there's lots of fighting. The main part of this that matters is that Samwell gets pushed down and he about to get fucked up, and then Dolores Ed kills the White Walker that was trying to kill Sam, and then Sam gets up and thanks him, and then Dolores Ed gets stabbed through the back of his motherfucking face and dies.
Yeah, there was a lot of L's. Like, they was literally like, somebody was like, let's go to the Batman Insane Asylum and everybody go and just stab everybody to death, because yeah, they was giving everybody the business.
Sam's that type of character, as much as I think he's had a good growth over the show. He is that dude that gets other people killed. Yes. Like Saving Private Ryan, like, mm-hmm, to save one dude, like eight people die. Like, mm-hmm, that's the Sam story.
It's also great writing, because I think a lesser show would have him like do a full like reform into this badass warrior man who, like, he's hardening. See, like, no, Sam is just barely living. Like, he's barely lived the entire fucking show. Like,
when did Sam get abs?
Right. Yeah,
like, in another show, you'd be like, yeah, when did Sam work out?
Right. Like, in another show, he's more like Podrick. Like, they put armor on him and he's like, you're like, oh, that guy's clearly been like hitting the weights during the off season. Like, Sam is still like, no, I'm 275, I don't fucking work out, and I just got a lot of heart. And they're like, okay, well, you can come out here, but you're not gonna look too great. But he's finding a way to survive, man, and that's really all that matters. But yeah, Dolores Ed, who's been clowning this nigga,
come on,
all the season, dies saving his life
because he cared.
Yeah. So it's more
that
like,
started the trend this episode of the death of the second tiers. Yeah, is what I thought of
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
the backup squad was getting a lot of death.
Yeah,
this,
if you're not a series regular, but yeah, it was more like Dolores dead. but yeah, he died. And so, after he dies, trying to think, was there any other, okay, yeah, so then Sam is scared as fuck after he dies and is like, I gotta run. it reminded me of the original joke I had about Sam, which is that he was Peter from the Cosbys, cause he was running like Peter from the Cosbys, get the fuck up out of there. That was ridiculous. He was like, this was a mistake.
I ain't got no business out here.
he was like Wong from Avengers Infinity War.
Come on.
He was like, I gotta go back to the sanctum. Bye, y'all. and so then Sansa goes into the crypt and it's a, like, not a long scene, but like Missandei, Varys, Tyrion, all the non-fighters are down there. Gilly and all this stuff, and Sansa goes in there, and it made me laugh, even though it's not funny, but nobody said a fucking word. Like, they was just looking like, oh, it's going that bad, it's on
yeah, you came down here, it must be real bad.
Yeah, it's on your face, it's not looking too good, huh?
Mm-mm.
So then in the sky, Jon and Dany can't see shit. Like, they was flying their dragons in the trees and shit. Like, they flew into each other.
Zero visibility.
Like, damn.
It's like we got a little, like, I just want them to do, like, the airplane pilot thing. Like, okay, we got a lot of poor visibility issues. We got a dragon. We got a nice dragon possibly coming up. We can't see anything. I think we're all going to die. Okay, everybody buckle up. And, right. We're going to ask you to sit down, flight attendants. Please take your seats. The dragons are going to crash.
running into trees, running into each other, running into our exes at the supermarket. We can't see shit. But yeah, so they were just all fucked up. Then back to the battlefield, everybody was like, fall back! Fall back! And just started fucking running to get into the castle. Lyanna, Mormont, and her Mormont crew are all manning the gate.
Yes, and one thing I did like about when people were falling back, the Dothrakians were actually shifting. Like, as people ran through them.
The Unsullied.
Unsullied, I'm sorry, were actually shifting and, mm-hmm, like, moving around to, like, close the holes that people were running through. I really liked that. It was just beautiful to see them move around. You go, oh, y'all operating like an army versus the Dothrakians. They're like, hey, everybody's just kind of for themselves. We're not a quote-unquote unit.
Yeah, that was the whole plan, and the show didn't take us through the whole plan. They just kind of glossed over a lot of it, but if you paid attention the last couple of episodes, you see the way they set up the defenses,
right?
So you knew like what those things were when they dug the trench and they put the spikes there and they said, I'll tell them to light the trench. Like, you knew, like, okay, this is kind of what their plan is gonna be. But I love that the show didn't never really, like, explicitly showed you. So when you see it, you're like, oh, that's smart. I see everyone's running through here. Now, that being said, they were also getting their asses kicked.
Come on.
So this didn't feel necessarily like part of the plan as much as a contingency, because, they were trying to live as well.
Yes.
So.
Bigger trenches. You need bigger trenches so that you can light them on fire in the They did like a, and it was good at the time, but they did like, okay, we'll put a ring of fire. And it's like, but if they have 100,000 bodies, they'll just throw a few on to, as they do.
Right.
And walk over eventually. You need to get like a whole mile long trench for these dead things to just fall into.
And it's funny because everybody shits on the plan, right? But if we're being, remembering what they said the last episode, this is only to delay the Night King while they try to kill him. Like, they're not really, they know they can't win this battle. They're going to lose the battle no matter what. So they're like, the only way to win is to kill the Night King and hope that that somehow makes all of the fucking, his henchmen die like the Chitauri in Avengers 1. And so that's the whole point of the fucking battle.
Right.
So all their plans were basically like, we're going to get our ass kicked here. Then we're going to run back here. We're going to light something up to waste some more time. And then we're going to get behind these walls. And then we're going to do that. And so it just felt in the middle of the battle like this is going way worse than y'all could have ever planned.
Yeah. Who can plan for that?
Yeah. I mean, they tried. So at any rate, Lyanna Mormont and her people, they're watching the gate. And she's like, open the gate! And they do. And everybody runs inside like it's Walmart on Black Friday. And And the Unsullied have to protect the retreat. And then John brings his dragon down so he can get a view of Bran in case the Night King attacks the Godswood. So he's like, I'm gonna sit over here. And I'm like, man, you could have at least like rode by on the dragon, hit him with the flame like one more time. But he was like, I ain't taking no chances. And then Arya shoots a White Walker with a flame arrow, killing it before it can get the Hound. And the Hound turns around and kills a couple and runs off. But he did see that Arya did that. And then the Unsullied start running in. They tighten themselves around like the trench area to protect it. And that's when Grey Worm tells everybody, we gotta light the trench. So he's like, light the trench. And then Davos gives the signal with two torches, like, light the trench.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to signal the dragons to fucking go light the trench with the dragon's flame.
Nope. Air traffic controller was like, we don't see
We've got a visibility issue on the ground. We can't see the fire. We're still stuck in the Night King weather. So if you could just, we're going to be in a holding pattern for a little bit. Everybody say your prayers. We're all going to die. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for flying Daenerys air. They don't get the signal. It looked like, basically, Daenerys was the only one flying around looking for the signal, and Jon was perched, you know, looking at for the Night King, and Daenerys couldn't see shit. So it was kind of like LaMarcus Aldridge at the end of that Spurs game where they needed to foul, and he couldn't see Popovich saying, just foul this motherfucker. So she's just up there, like, cruising. I'm like, she couldn't, like, come down a few feet, like, maybe, give an old flyby a little something, but nope, couldn't. So now it's like, we in trouble. We can't fucking light the fire. Everybody's getting killed. The fucking White Walkers are on our ass. And they try to use fire arrows. They don't do shit. Cause whatever the Night King did with the cold, when he turned the AC up,
he turned it weird.
It fucked up everything. Like, you couldn't even light it up with anything. And so then they tried to use torches, but the White Walkers were like tackling the people that had torches before they could get to the thing. And finally, Grey Worm looks over at Melisandre, and he's like, you got a light? Like, can you do something about this? You the mistress of fire and shit. Can you help? And she's like, all right, come on. So then Sully form a protective barrier around her, and then she does an incantation to light the trench with flame magic. And there were two things I noticed about this. Number one, Melisandre is a bad bitch. She never ran not one step in this entire fucking siege. Like, She strutted to like the fire, like, I have to do my walk on the runway. I can't be out here looking like I'm rushing.
I did want her to move quicker.
Weren't we all of us at the collective entirety of the Game of Thrones fandom was like, if you don't run your ass over there, and she was up there like, I'm too sexy for my, like, just strutting. And so then she gets there, and this fucking incantation took longer to light. It took longer to start this fire than my 1992 Honda Accord named Jada.
I remember this, that car.
This shit would not start.
It was, and she had to do it several times because it was like, I'm not lighting.
It was basically like, is the starter broken? Is what's the something wrong with the
jumper?
Like, is it clicking? Like, jumped. I don't understand. And she did this incantation for so long, and of course it lit right as a like White Walker was trying to like jump on her face. The shit just, the fire went off and killed her. It was like, okay, now thank God we got the trench lit, everybody back inside. Listen, the Lord of Light might not come when you want him, okay, but he is always right on time. All right, can I get an amen? So then the Hound, of course, sees all this fire and has a nervous fucking breakdown because he got his fire.
She
he got
around with the collection plate. Sorry, she went inside with the collection plate after. That's another deleted scene.
Yeah. Don't ask no questions, okay? Don't ask why Pastor need a new pair of shoes. just pass the plate. So yeah, they get they go inside. The Hound gets scared by the fire. He runs off. He got to get his mind right around the corner. In the crypt, everybody's sitting around. Varys is like, well, at least we're already in the crypt.
Right. He was like, we all gonna die down here.
I'm like, this motherfucker really tried to break the silence. Like, man, just keep that one to yourself.
He has nothing. It tells you, though, it's interesting, and I don't think it's unintentional. Like, he has nothing to say. He's had the wisdom and the clever words for 7.5 seasons or whatever. He just had nothing to say because it was just like, there's nothing to say right now.
Yeah. Cause he lost all his internet access. It's like all of a sudden he unplugged from the internet. He wasn't checking Twitter, Facebook. He don't know what's happening.
The other part of it that's interesting is that, people keep thinking there's like a spy in Danny's camp, you know, but my thing is, what kind of spy lets himself be stuck in this fucking death trap? Like, if you a spy, you pretty fucking loyal to Cersei if you can fucking stay in that shit. Cause once I found out what the plan was, I'm like, okay, this is when I slide out of the castle on the low, and good luck to everybody. But yeah, he was down there in the crypt with him. So I don't know if anybody's a spy that was down there. We'll see. But yeah, he makes that joke. And then Tyrion says, like, man, if I was up there, I could, like, see the whole way that things is working now, and I could strategize that shit, you know, because, like, when we're at the Battle of Blackwater, like, I seen that we could have used the mud tunnels to, like, get out, and then through the mud gate, and then Varys was like, didn't you get chopped in the fucking face at Blackwater?
Yes, and was out the rest of the battle.
Like, do you remember that part? He's like, nah, man, but you got to see, man, the way I could handle this shit. And then Sansa was like, you die. Chill out. And Tyrion was like, well, I can't think of a outfit less equipped for my skills than the White Walkers. And then Sansa was like, yeah, being sassy not really gonna help. And she was like, he was like, well, maybe you should have stayed married to me. And then she said, you were the best of them. And he said, what a terrifying thought, because, you know, his family ain't shit. And she said, it wouldn't work between us. And he said, why not? And she said, the Dragon Queen, your divided loyalties will become a problem. And that's when my girl Missandei came out of nowhere, like, don't nobody talk about Miss, don't nobody be talking about Miss Daenerys.
Miss Jenkins?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm. Don't nobody be talking about Miss Daenerys. You know,
she
you ain't
not here for it.
You ain't heard it from me. But she was like, nah, don't nobody be talking about.
But she is a terrible battle commander.
Yeah, yeah. You ain't heard it from me, but she can't see too far in the clouds. But nah, she was like, if the Dragon Queen if she was here, it wouldn't be a problem. If she wasn't here, it wouldn't be a problem, cause y'all niggas would be dead. And I'm like, that's a great point though. Like, be mad if you want to, but if she ain't bring the Dothraki and them dragons and Unsullied, this shit would have been over like about 10 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. So everybody calm the fuck down. And I know she was also thinking, I didn't bring my black ass up to this racist ass cold country
to die
for y'all to be shitting on my boss in front of my face. Mm-mm. What is going on?
The red thought has a point.
Mm-hmm. She's like, no, thank you. Okay. Listen, I did not have to go and wrap my hair up every night in a bonnet. Down here, up here, for y'all to be shitting on my boss in front of my face.
She was standing, instead of bees, it was little dragons flying around her. She was like, what you won't do is just talk about her this right. way. Not my queen.
Okay. I had to bring all my cocoa butter all the way up here for this shit.
And I'm not gonna die down here with y'all, no.
So then Theon tells Bran they lit the trench, out by the Godswood. And he about to tell Bran, like, yo, man, I really wish I hadn't did all that shit I did, like, kill them kids. And then Bran is like, don't even worry about it, because if you wouldn't have did what you did, you wouldn't be here now, so don't worry about it. By the way, I'm out! And he takes a vision. He goes on a vision quest full of ravens. He wargs some ravens and flies across the battlefield, and he's the one that eventually finds the Night King on the dragon. Because up until this point, we hadn't seen the Night King yet. Mm-mm. And then the Night King is also commanding his troops from up top on the dragon in the clouds where no one can see him. And he starts commanding them like Thanos did in Wakanda, where he just like goes, run through the motherfucking like fire shield. Just run through that shit until your bodies put the fire out, and then we'll all cross behind it. And they did.
Bran disappointed me here, though, because I was like, he's got all that power, and his power was like, I'm gonna become a bird and see better.
I just want to see what's going on. I'm like, dog, you should have
a better view of our massacre.
Yeah. I was hoping like Bran would like take over that dragon or some shit. Like he do shit. He was like, I was like, why can't he like warg into Jon's dragon and be like, this motherfucker's over here? That would have been so dope. But nah, Bran was just like, oh man, he really gonna kill us. So the whites start climbing the walls. Like World War Z style. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they just like slam themselves into the wall, and then the next White Walker crawls on top of him, and then more and more and more crawl on top of each other till they basically climb up the walls, mm-hmm. just using their bodies. And I was disappointed in the plan here, because they had said, we need to man the walls, but they ain't have no hot oil or nothing to pour down that wall. I mean, I'm not a medieval battle person myself. I've never been in one of these, but I was always told that these motherfuckers had like shit to pour on these motherfuckers trying to siege the walls and destroy them. And instead, they just was kind of like looking, waiting for them to come up. And I thought that was some bullshit. I ain't got no Texas Pete or something.
Mm-mm.
It was crazy. So the motherfuckers climbed up the wall, and they start fighting at the top of the wall. Of course, it gets overwhelmed like mad quick, because you know they don't care that they died. So the White Walkers just keep coming, and we get the saves again. Brienne saves Jaime. Sam gets saved. Sam gets saved again. The whites are even like running themselves into dragon glass barriers so that the like next white won't get stabbed by it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just fucking insane, man. It's like nothing you can do to beat them. So
great coaching, great team first mentality.
Yes. Yes. A lot of scrappy white walkers out there.
Yeah,
a lot of
everybody was moving to take one.
No last names on the back of the White Walker jerseys.
Oh,
no, it's all about what's on the front.
No last names.
They all got motors. They all got gutty guys out there. Just hustling.
Everybody willing to take one for the team.
Yep. Just no egos. And so then, of course, the castle.
Playing fundamentals.
Yep. The castle's getting overwhelmed. The Hound is having a full out panic attack around the corner. Just trying to get his mind right. And then Arya breaks out her spear. And the fucking Avengers theme starts playing, because she goes on like a 25 kill streak of just White Walkers. You know, it's just like boom, she's spinning like all types of shit. The spear breaks into two parts, so now you got like two stabby things.
That was neat.
Like, she got off on these motherfuckers, and you start to go, well, maybe it's gonna be all right. Arya to the fucking rescue. And as that is happening, an undead giant bursts through the castle gate and slaps the shit out of Liana Mormont, that little kid. And that's when you realize that's a little white girl. You're like, oh, that's right. Slapped it. Like, I know she's a little white girl, but like that giant slapped the black off of her and her into the future. Like, she got slapped in the next week and all the black was off of her. And that giant was actually 1-1.
Right.
Remember 1-1, the giant we all loved that died at the Battle of the Bastards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he a fucking white now. And so he's just giving them the business. He just got busy on the fucking Mormons. He's just slapping them around. Fucking, they trying to stab me, picking up shit and hitting them with it. And so then, Arya gets overwhelmed. She like does some ninja shit, flips on a pile of bodies, runs away. And Beric shows the Hound, cause the Hound, he's like, come on, Clegane, we gotta help us out. And the Hound was
so
like,
so disappointed in the Hound, cause the Hound is my guy.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you gotta overcome this.
Yeah. He was having a real.
Call somebody a cunt. You yeah. gotta call somebody a cunt. That's like his power up.
He had no clutch gene. You know, he wasn't ready for prime time, man.
Listen, Shannon. When you're a Clegane, you want to go with the Mountain because he's winning titles. Even when injured, he's breaking heads. Whereas the Hound is, you know, sure, he's big when it's the Forest and a bunch of no names, but when it's the playoffs, he's got no clutch gene.
Yeah, no clutch gene. He was giving us nothing in the fourth quarter up until this point. It was just James Harden. Just we're like, what's going on with the threes? Is it too much fatigue through the regular season? And it was then that my man Beric points out, well, look at Arya. She's up there. You gonna tell her it's no hope? Because Hound was like, it's no hope, you stupid whore. We're gonna die. Fuck everybody. We're fighting death. We are fighting death. And it was like that scene in Aliens where that dude's like, we're all gonna die, man.
Oh, Bill Paxton. Yeah. Let's put her in charge, man.
Yeah. Oh, one of the greatest coward scenes of all fucking time, man. Incredible.
But he has a redemption.
Yeah,
not
he does.
This is an alien show, yeah. But he does redeem himself.
Yeah, but that's one of my favorite scenes of all. Game over, man. It's game over. Oh, God. What a great scene. This motherfucker tells the Hound, like, what about Arya? And we know, just last week when Arya said, you don't fight for nothing but yourself. And he said, I fought for you, didn't I? And he sees her and he stops acting like a bitch and he runs after her. So then Liana wakes up from the dream. The concussion she surely has suffered from getting the shit slapped out of her.
Come on.
And she is fucked up. Like, she just got like her sword. She's limping. It's blood coming down her face. As she charges at the fucking giant, and we all know this little girl about to get killed fucking with this giant. I'm like, no, baby, what is you doing? Just run to the corner and hide. She's like,
she was like, I came to fight.
Right. And so then 1-1.
She was dialing 911 as she ran and yeah. said, help! I'm a little white girl in trouble.
Yeah. Please. And the police came out, shot 1-1. It was crazy. So then she just went out like Latifah and set it off, cause she was like, she ran and she's all fucked up, and then the giant 1-1 picked up with one hand and grabbed her, and you could hear the crushing sound as he crushed like her armor and everything inside of it, and she was like, she was dying to shit. And then right before she was about to bite the big one, he had pulled up to his face like he was gonna like bite her or some shit. And she took her arm that still had a sword in it that was dangling and stuck it right through his last good eye. And that nigga died. And then she died in his hands on the ground. And that is the most gangster shit a little white girl has ever done
in
TV history.
She went out like a champ.
There has never been, listen, not even Arya when she was that age could have done that.
Mm-mm.
Give it up for our girl. That, a true G. A G among G's. Liana Mormont, like, if anybody tell you that somebody has gone out better than her on a TV show, smack them in the face, okay? You have my
Skip
permission.
Bayless. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You got it.
I was going to say, Skip Bayless right now, though, is claiming that she's the real MVP of the episode.
Come on.
Yeah, she's like the Dwayne Wade of this episode.
But... Do we even get to Arya if Lyanna doesn't make that clutch murder?
Right. So, like, she dies in a way that I feel like it was so, like, they wanted to give her a good send-off.
Yes, and she deserved it.
Because they made her the like, focal point of a lot of the, like, Winterfell badassery since everybody died.
Right, she was like, I'm not all talk. I told y'all I came to fight. I wasn't going in the crypt. I was came to fuck some shit up.
And Jorah had told her not to go her ass out there. She was like, nigga, I'm going out there, so you need to chill out, and it's good to see you, cousin. So, like, she was, like, she didn't give a fuck. So, I mean, it's like, another show would not have killed her.
Right.
But Game of Thrones is, of course, like, that's a little girl. Are y'all serious? She dead. But I would like to take a moment out there for her respect to her memory.
Homies with that gangster lean. Why'd you have to go so soon?
It seems like
yesterday we're hanging by the hood.
Keep your memory alive like a homie should.
A lifetime of memories
down the drain.
Going down the drain.
But
I can't put past the pain.
I give my 40 to your memory.
Take a drink and I start to think, and I know that one day soon we'll be. We hanging out.
Sing it for Lyanna.
For my homie.
Wow, wow.
See you when I get there. In that gangsta lean. Gangsta lean.
Make sure y'all put her in the crypt by the front. Cause she deserves a statue and everything.
She saved lives.
A true motherfucking G, dog. I cannot believe we gotta go the rest of the show without her. But thank you, Lyanna. Your sacrifice was not in vain. Cause 1-1 was fitting the fuck up everybody.
I'ma miss her sass and her scowling and her looking like, bitch, what you say?
Low key, this was like when Dwayne Wade hurt Rondo for the Celtics that time. And then they went on and won the series. That's basically what she did. So shout out to her. Danny and John finally figure out that they need to go above the clouds so they can look for the Night King, where they can see things. And then the Night King comes from the clouds, and they have a dragon dog fight in the air. And apparently the Night King's dragon apparently has unlimited ammo. Like, what the fuck? That motherfucking fire would not run out. That was the longest fucking fire of all. I was like, run! Run, motherfuckers! He's on your ass! Like, he was burning up Danny and John at the same time. Oh, man. And then he ran away. And, of course, they were lost again. They had to go in the clouds to look for him. Then we get a very long, suspenseful scene that I won't bother describing in detail. But Arya creeping around the library with a bunch of fucking White Walkers looking for her. And I don't know, like, why these White Walkers are so much different than the other ones, but they were like walking around like
they were about to check out some library books.
Yeah, they were like listening for shit. Like, it was totally different than the other ones.
Is it because they were like from the crypt and they were like old and rusty? Like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
and you know,
well, no, the crypt hadn't been awakened yet. So these were like, right. They came with him and they just somehow they got to the library and was like, shh. Like, they was taking books down, putting it back up in the Dewey Decimal System. It was crazy.
and it might be, like you said, you have regional managers, you might have different levels of smartness within the group. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, some of them were like dumb, and then you might have some just a little bit smarter.
Well, they was like listening like your grandmama when you try to go to the fridge at night. Like, they had the super hearing.
And you wrestle something. She'd be like, what is that?
So it was like a cool scene. She's like hiding behind bookshelves and shit, trying to walk away. And this is also a great moment because Arya becomes a little girl again in our minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've watched her go from little girl to badass to like smashing Gendry's cakes to Blacksmith and Smithereens to now we're watching her back to regress a bit to like survival horror. Like, I just need to get the fuck out of here before they see me where I'm at and they try to kill me. And so she does all this and she finally throws a book, straight up Walking Dead trick, and White Walkers run all over there to the book, and then she sneaks out and right around the corner one of them runs into her and she like stabs it before it can say anything. Like, it was just like some, and then lays it down all smooth like a smooth ass assassin. And then she gets in a room where all the whites aren't anymore, and she's trying to find a way out, and then you hear them coming through the hallway and they bust open the door. And then she starts running like Tristan Thompson away from a woman in her third trimester. She is getting the fuck out of Dodge. Okay.
It was like like I said, like The Walking Dead or what is them zombie video games?
Resident Evil.
Yes, okay. That's what it reminded me of.
And then in the crib, they cut to the crib and they just hear the battle getting closer and closer. And then suddenly they hear silence, which I'm like, oh shit. They done killed all the guards and resistance. This mean they about to kill y'all. But nothing happens after that. This is just silence. No banging on the door, nothing. But then they do a lot of like tight zoom in shots of everybody listening. And, that little girl that said she was going to protect Gilly and the baby, she was there and she was looking like a stone cold killer. I don't know why. I said, listen, after what they did to Lyanna, girl, you better run to the back before these motherfuckers kill you. Okay. And so then Beric and the Hound save Arya, and once again they do the same thing. Arya has a white on top of her and she's screaming like Brienne. She's like, ah, get it off me. And Beric takes his flaming sword and fucking throws it across the room and it hits the White Walker and kills it. But now he don't got that flaming sword, and that's like what made him a beast.
I was like, go back and get the flaming sword,
right? I was like, no, nigga, don't do that. So
it's not a dagger,
right?
It's not a boomerang. It ain't coming back.
It's not a one use item,
right?
that's recyclable,
right? And so he fucking throws a sword and he grabs Arya before he grabs a sword, and then the White Walkers get between him and the sword, and they just start stabbing him up.
It was that big stabby o'clock. I don't know what was happening. They stabbed the hell out of him.
I haven't seen that much stabbing since Lisa Ann was on black.com. Okay. The amount of stabs this man took. It was crazy. He was using his body to block stabs. Like, it was like, I was like, what the fuck? Where's your survival instinct, bro? Like, I know he been killed a lot of times, but like, dude, like, it might not work out this time.
He lived a long time on a lot of fatal wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yo, he lived, like, that was anime death that he had.
Right.
He had an anime death. He died, and it took about 75 feet for him to actually die, because it was like, stab, stab, and he would push one of them off and be like, take her, and then, like, the Hound would grab Arya and start running, and then he would, like, run about 10 feet and get stabbed some more, and then he'd be like, keep going! And Arya's like, are you okay? He's like, go, and then they run, and then he go around a corner, and at one point, I swear to God, I'm not joking, he put his arms on the wall like that and stood and let them stab him in the back so he could stop the fucking White Walkers from getting to Arya and the Hound. But he didn't just die, he then started running again, and I was like, what the fuck, dude? Just that was it. That was your moment.
He was using all his energy up, because you know he been bought back upteen times. So right. He was like, look, I'm going to use all the power that I have left in me.
And then he makes it into the room with the Hound and Arya right as they close the door on the White Walkers, so the White Walkers can't get them. Because apparently whatever they did to bust down the front door the first time, they decided not to. They were just like, this is oak. So let's go around. So then they're in this room and Beric finally dies in Arya's arms. And I laughed so hard when this happened because, I mean, it was sad that he died. But Melisandre's in the fucking room too, and she's like, oh, what's up, y'all?
she was just chilling
over here chilling by the fireplace, and I was like, can't you resurrect him? Like, aren't you?
I don't know.
Like, the other dude was resurrecting Barrett because he had fire magic. Like, she waited till he died and was like, oh man, well, you know, the Lord of Light works in mysterious ways. I was like, you could have tried something. Anyway, she was like, the Lord of Light brought him back for a purpose, and now that purpose has been served. And Arya turned around and was like, I know you. And she said, and I know you. And then Arya's like, you said we'd meet again. Cause she did tell her that shit when she took Gendry. And she was like, and here we are at the end of the world. And Arya's like, you said I'd shut many eyes forever. You were right about that too. And she said, brown eyes, green eyes, and blue eyes too. And then Arya was looking like, and she was looking Arya dead in her face like, you know what I'm saying? Blue eyes. You know who got blue eyes? These White Walkers got blue eyes, remember? And so she was like, they banged on the door a little bit and they turned around to face the door. And then Melisandre said, what did we say to the God of Death? And that's what the faceless man used to say to Arya. And her first trainer, Syrio, I think, said it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, not today. And I said, damn, they stole that from Black Church. Not today, Satan.
Not today.
And just like that, Arya got her swag back and ran off. And I was like, okay, she's in her mind, right mind. So I was like, I think they reduced her to scare us into like, she's just a little girl. You guys are right. She shouldn't even be having sex out here. What the fuck? And then it was
no
like,
condom.
Yeah, no condoms in the, I don't think anybody's using them here.
Nobody.
A lot of rhythm method happening in Westeros. But yeah, so she ran off to be like, nah, I got this. And then the whites around.
I was going to say though, this, they don't show her run, but it has to be one of the more impressive for both speed and stealth.
Yeah.
Cause Gendry's run, cause when I did the rewatch before this season started, Gendry's run in season 7 is like underrated, like one of the most, like 4 or 5 most impressive things in the whole series.
In the snow.
He does like a marathon in like the Arctic.
Yes. I'm telling you, I don't know how the fuck that didn't get more. When it happened, I said, if that was me, they would have just died. Cause I would have been like, nah, they're good. Like halfway through that run, you're just like, oh, fuck it. Fuck everybody. Fuck everything. They even took his axe. Like, it's just, I'm okay. Well, you know what, guys? I gave it a fucking college try. This is a long way to run in the snow. And this motherfucker ran all the way to the wall and passed out and was just like, they died in the snow. Get the dragons. And I'm like, bruh, everyone could have died. They didn't even send another person with him. Oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
They were like, you're the fastest. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not Usain Bolt.
Right. Like, that motherfucker, like,
he trained for this.
He Forrest Gump ran that shit all the way back. He didn't even take a break.
Mm-mm, no water break, nothing.
He didn't have no water.
Nope.
Dog, I would have died about 5 minutes out. Like, yo, these motherfuckers are crazy. Let's see how far that wall is. They should have ran with me. I don't know what they was thinking. But he did it. Man, the MVP, dog. That's the only reason he was able to stand with, to stand out there, he had sex with Arya. He had that stamina. So then, Theon and the his archers in the Godswoods, they start fighting, shooting flame arrows into him and shit. The Night King brings the Drogon, brings, the fuck was his, Viserys or whatever. He brings his dragon down towards Winterfell and busts the wall open. And then Jon attacks with his dragon, and then they have a vicious dragon fight. I'm talking like this is the stuff of Mike Vick's dreams, okay? These dragons are going each other neck to neck, fucking each other up. And the Night King dragon gets cut and starts flaming from the neck and shit because Dany brings her dragon down to fight, and it fucks up the Night King's dragon and knocks him off of it. And like knocks his dragon out of the battle. Now the only thing is, John's dragon gets so fucked up it crash lands with John on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny's dragon still in the air, the oldest one, the Drogon and shit, it's cool. But But John's Dragon is out for the, that he needs a break. He's out for the rest of the game. we cut over to Roz Gold. We get the halftime report. It's like, it doesn't look like he's returning, EJ. Rigo's out with a twisted wing, and it's not looking too good. The trainer says
they're gonna give him an MRI and I'll be back with the report.
Yeah, they don't expect to see him back in the game.
They're doing a concussion protocol.
Right. Like, just Drogon's music started playing. He came off the top rope and, like, finished that shit off. And also the Night King was trying to kill Jon with that spear thing while he was on the fucking dragon. He was, like, waiting for a clean shot. He just couldn't get him. So then, now that Dany spots the Night King on the ground. And y'all, I know I called this last week.
Yep.
Bruh. The other thing I called when I said that is that I would never be scared as much as I was scared at that moment. I was so fucking scared. This nigga got hit with the Dracarys, the Night King, just looking at her, let her shoot him with the dragon fire. And Danny was smiling like, yes, we finally got him. We won. And the flame subsided and this motherfucker was just standing there and he had his spear and was like, yeah, and now what? I don't think so.
Not today, no.
That dragon fire didn't do shit. And he
nothing.
Was, I know he don't have facial expressions, but it felt like he was smiling.
He smirked.
He was looking at her like, you stupid motherfuckers.
Yeah, he must have said, hit me with your best shot.
Right.
Why don't you hit me with your best shot?
He was just sitting there. Just taking a gander at them, and they were.
Hey, girl, I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
He was enjoying his entire life to that shit. And so, Danny flies away as he throws a fucking javelin at her, the ice javelin. And that's the other thing. As soon as it didn't work, I'm like, I turned to a black person at a scary movie, like, run, bitch, run! He got the spear! You about to die, bitch! So she ran, and he was basically through his spear, like, get your ass on. And then John followed the Night King toward the castle wall, and he was like behind him, but he wasn't really running too fast because he didn't want to alert him, but he was still kind of creeping on the come up. And the Night King, of course, turned around like, nigga, I knew you was back there.
I was like, John, what are you doing?
And he was like, and you know what? I normally don't do this, but let's keep the party going. Raise everybody from the dead.
But just for you, I'll keep it going.
Like, that's so unfair. That's like your boss coming to you at 4:59 and being like, I got this project I want you to work on. Like, I gotta do overtime. I gotta fight all my dead friends because of this shit. So, like, all the fucking people rise from the dead. And
all the people that have been killing.
Not just that. If you peep game, this is also when the Crypt people come alive.
Okay.
This motherfucker's superpowers make everybody that was dead back alive. And so now in the Crypt where they was kind of chilling, because remember, the motherfucking things fought to, like, wherever the door was, and then they just stopped for some reason, right?
Right.
Now, my guess is, if you look at the timing of the episode when I watched it the second time, Arya, remember, they were at that door, and then it just stopped trying to get in that door, and she ran off to go help. Mm-hmm. Who else was it? Sansa and them in the crypt. The White Walkers just stopped and ran off. This was the point where I think the Night King was making his move to the Godswood, so all his, like, troops and shit just follow with him and start fighting to keep people off of him. So I think everybody was kind of bailed out at this moment and he was just going to kill Bran. But then when he rose everybody from the dead, it was like game fucking reset back to the first quarter. He just fucking unplugged the Xbox. It was like start over, everybody. And it was crazy. It was all Madden difficulty. John is surrounded by these motherfuckers, of course. The crypt is like full of these motherfuckers. Theon's men are still fighting off the whites that are coming for Bran. But now they starting to take some L's, like Theon's men dying. Drogon comes out and helps Jon and fire, like Dany's on Drogon and like she shoots flame all around Jon to save him from these newly risen, resurrected dead people or whatever, right? But she's like, go get the Bran. And he runs to get the Bran. And this is the only part of the episode I didn't like, y'all. She was cupcaking so hard.
She wasn't paying attention.
Looking at his cheeks run away.
Come on.
Like, that's some fine nephew ass back there. And boom, the fucking White Walkers crawled on top of Drogon like fire ants. And then they had this long scene where he tries to shake them off and he flies off. She gets knocked to the ground and he's shaking them off in the air and all this type of shit. And, I don't know if it's just like a directing thing or what, but I really thought this was kind of weak. So I don't know what y'all thought about the whites getting on the dragon like that, but I don't know. It just felt like a lesser show for a second.
I'm just curious why. Like I felt like they had to get it. You know, we know who dies at the end, so it has to set that up.
Right.
It felt like she just made strategical errors after error, and like when you have the air advantage, you don't park it. Don't leave it. You're leaving your car in a very bad neighborhood.
Right.
Left the doors open.
Yeah, it bothered me so bad because, like, you know, another reason is probably good that it happened because the people that hate Sansa were shitting on Sansa for being in the crypt and, like, about to die and shit. So then I guess they had to bring Dany down a notch and be like, well, look, she don't even be taking care of, she don't even know what she parked her dragon. Like, so we could be like, oh, well, I guess they both kind of stupid. But I just thought it was stupid. So, that happens. She falls off the motherfucking dragon, and then the whites all wake up and they pay attention. They're like, ooh, Dragon Queen is on the ground, defenseless. It's time to fuck her up. And it's like, oh shit, is Dany gonna die? And of course Dany's not gonna die, because Jorah's magical woman in trouble problem.
Yes, he showed up. To be there for I fought rock A's for you, girl. To love you all night long.
It's kind of funny, but he said, what kind of man leaves his woman to go save his wheelchair brother that's not even his real brother?
Come on, you out here all by yourself, girl.
You see, if you was my woman, you would never be stuck out in the snow surrounded by enemies without me having your back, baby. Nah, I wouldn't let that happen to you. So he shows up out of nowhere and picks her up and is like, I got your back, Khaleesi. And he gives her a sword, and them motherfuckers just go back to back, Batman and Robin, on all the White Walkers, and they just start fighting.
Yeah, and also
Mother of Dragons.
Yes, and Mother Dragons. And for me,
can you touch, please, Khaleesi, touch my penis before I die?
Oh no!
Sorry.
Oh no!
Karen, what are you gonna say? Go ahead.
He just wanted to smell her hair.
What that thing smell like?
What does it smell like?
I know we've been in battle for a long time, Khaleesi, but that's the musk of hard-earned victory. You think Khal Drogo smelled much better? He was riding a horse and raping all day. I'm sure his junk smelled terrible, Khaleesi.
Yeah, he would never treat you like that, okay?
And the thing is, I think for me, this show, why, not trying to be funny, why Dany is the queen, because unlike Sansa, who can't fight, she was like, bitch, I'm not going to die. Me and you, I'm going to fuck some shit up. I'm out here with my people. Somebody got my back. Like, that kind of showed the difference between her and Sansa.
Yeah, she can't fight. And I like that the show didn't, like, make her suddenly, like, a great swords person.
Right.
She was out there barely making it, too. But she was making it. And that's really all that matters. We get a great scene of John walking through the courtyard fighting walkers and trying to get to the Night King. And
this was a horror movie too.
My favorite thing is every character we cared about was completely surrounded and needed help. And John has apparently grown the fuck up, because he was like, even with Samwell, he was like, hey nigga, y'all on y'all own. Okay.
I can't do it.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay, he was walking past him. It's like, oh man, that would suck if you died. But anyway, which way is the Night King? And he walks all the way through him and even gets to a gate and locks the gate behind him. And then they cut to Theon, who's the last man standing with Bran at the tree.
Like a champ.
And I mean, listen, I hate Theon. I used to call him Reek. I only stopped because he did save Sansa from Ramsay, and I'm not that biased and cold-blooded. But I gotta say, man, when that nigga was the last man standing and wasn't running and was taking motherfuckers down like a champ, I was rooting for him. I was like, please help. We need all the help. It was like when I didn't like Ray Allen on the Celtics and then he was on the Heat and I was like, okay, well, fuck it. Well, fuck it, dog. Like, hit that three. We need them threes, baby. And so then, Tyrion takes Sansa's, hand in the, oh, they're hiding in the crypt and the whites are killing everybody and Tyrion and Sansa is hiding together and Sansa pulls out that dagger because, you know what? Fuck it. I got a dagger. I don't know how to do it, but if one of these motherfuckers runs up on me, I'm stabbing him. I'm gonna try to die. I'm gonna try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And which is something that nobody wants to give her credit for. But right. I mean, how's that any different from what the fuck, the Khaleesi got stuck doing? Like, I want to survive, okay? She could have handed that dagger to Tyrion and been like, do something. She was like, no, I got it. And so then Tyrion kisses her hand and pulls out when she's looking at the dagger, like, what ends the stabby end? He kisses her hand and they look each other in the eyes for a long time. And then that song, "We Fell in Love in a Hopeless Place," started playing.
Yes, the number one YMCA Zumba song,
right? And but what y'all so what y'all think about? Are we supposed to be shipping Tyrion and Sansa now?
No, I don't really think it's shipping. I think because of their long history together, they had come. Look, we're gonna die. Like, me and you are gonna die. And if we do, we can go out together. And it's almost like no hard feelings.
So even with that conversation they had before where he was like, we should have stayed married.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean,
okay. Mm-mm. What about you, JL? What do you think?
I think that I agree with Karen. I think it was more of a, I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I see that you are good. I see you're one of the good, like through all this, I see that you're a good person. And it's been nice knowing you.
Okay.
Yeah, and the biggest reason why I feel like that is because he always kind of respected her. Like, he didn't sleep with her. You know, it was one of these things where he was like, I respect, you know, what you've been through to get here.
Yeah.
Do you think he's thinking, though, like, if I had known Shay was going to be Shay, the funny whore, do you think if he knew she was just going to be lying and sleeping, he's like, maybe I should have tried to have sex with Sansa.
I don't know, man.
He was kind of being decent for Sansa, but yeah, also because he was like, he was in love with Shay.
Right. But if he wouldn't know Shay was going to stab him in the back with his father, I don't know. I got to say, guys, I know it's probably an unpopular opinion, but I felt like they were supposed to be shipping them. And that was a moment of romance between them. And I think we might get something out of that. Might get Tyrion and Sansa together. You know, so
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt a little romantic to me, man. Especially the second time I watched it. The first time I watched it, I thought, it's just a weird, like, kind of a moment of like friendship. But then when, I don't know, the way they made them like look each other in the eyes for that long time, I don't know. They shared a moment. We'll see. I mean, it could be like Speed 1 or maybe it's like Speed 2. Who knows?
It could just be that tension, though, from like a traumatic experience. Yeah. And then when things settle, they'll be like, isn't that funny how we almost fucked when the zombies were coming after us? Ha ha ha.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Could be like Speed 1. Could be like Speed 2. Speed 2,
Speed 2.
Yeah, Speed 2, we found out that wasn't shit. He wasn't, because Keanu wasn't in that one.
No, he was not.
Like, apparently y'all don't end up happily ever after. It's just trauma bonding. He kisses Sansa's hand or whatever. He gets up like he's gonna go, like, help. The Night King, his wounded dragon lands in the courtyard and blocks Jon's path. And Jorah and Dany start fighting whites, and then Jorah gets stabbed up even worse than Beric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point, she used his body to catch a stab that was meant for her, and he wasn't even mad. He was like, yes, exactly the way we planned it. And I was like, nigga, what? You could have lived. she like at this point she had to go on the offense, but she was using him like a shield and he was totally cool with that shit. Like, what an ally, what a good guy.
He friend zoned it to the end.
Use my friend zone powers to block these knives. So then Jorah got shanked like Chad's dad from Mad Real World.
Oh no.
it was so gratuitous. And then of course all the other people in struggle fighting, barely living. And then the Night King finally surrounds the guy, the tree, and Bran, and Theon's the only one left. And then Bran finally turns off Raven Vision to tell Theon, like, he's like, let me turn off my VR console. I'm back, Bran. Bran, I just want to let you know, you're a good man. Thank you. And you got the juice now.
That's all he needed to hear.
And then Theon looks so relieved that he finally had got redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which I'm like, yeah, but can he really give you redemption for the two boys you burned that weren't him? I mean, mm-mm. He's kind of only here because you fucked up the anyway. Mm-hmm. So then he runs towards the Night King with his spear.
I was like, oh, baby, you dead.
And I knew he was going to die because he didn't hit the Night King with a crossover or nothing. He just ran straight at him like he ain't watched the rest of the show. And the Night King, of course, just caught the spear and like flipped it on him and stuck him in his fucking stomach and killed him like idiot. Like, of course I saw that coming. And then and then John is just stuck trying to get past the dragon and it's about to flame him up and he's hiding behind a rock. Although this scene was so fucking funny because of course a lesser show just has John like get there and save everybody, but like he started running and the dragon just turned around the right moment. He was like, oh shit, and like and like ran behind a rock like, whoa, like, I almost died. Woo. Like
anybody would,
right?
I need people to look up that are listening either now or when this goes up. Look up Gordon Hayward early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He looks just like Bran.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Bran looks like early. And I think Bran secretly is like 6'3".
Because
he sits very tall in his chair.
He does.
I think he's like an aspiring small forward.
They could not have known. They could not have known that kid was going to grow that tall.
I know.
Right.
They could not have known. Like, I'm sure if they could recast it, they'd be like, we need to get somebody who's never gonna get past like 5'10". But that kid is like so big in that chair. So then, of course, John doesn't get past the dragon. He goes to hides and shit. And the Night King gets right up on Bran. He takes his time. I mean, he is strutting. Okay, like only him and Melisandre had the same gait this entire fucking. This is,
come on,
staying alive. You can tell by the way I walk.
Like, come on.
Like he's just cruising.
It was everything, and he was literally walking like I'm gonna sweep. Like,
right?
Why, I don't even know why y'all showed up tonight. We're gonna sweep.
Right. I have a 3-1 lead.
We're sweeping the room.
Jorah gets stabbed up a few more times for good measure, and then gets back on his feet to protect Danny. And then John comes from behind cover and yells at the dragon like that was supposed to do something. And I thought maybe the dragon was gonna light him on fire and then we're gonna find out that John's fireproof or something, but we didn't get a chance. And then the Night King stands over Bran for what approximately felt like about 45 minutes.
Forever.
It was Avengers Endgame long that he just stood there staring,
yes,
at this motherfucker.
It was.
Like, I got you, baby. It's nothing you could do. And he finally looks down all coldly at him and he starts reaching for his sword. And right before he can get his sword off his back, out of a motherfucking like teleportation portal, Arya Stark, first of her name, jumps out of nowhere and she's like trying to stab this nigga like in the air like this with her left hand because she's a left hand goddess. And motherfucking the Night King turns around and grabs her by the throat. And then Arya is stuck, but she not like Theon. She got the crossover. So she hit him with the Allen Iverson on Jordan, switched to the right hand by dropping the knife from the top, catching at the bottom. And the Night King was looking like, uh-oh. And she was like, uh-oh, it's right, you bitch. And stabbed him right in his goddamn heart and blew that nigga up, took over the just Dame Lilith face, waved bye-bye to everybody. teammates was lifting her up. It was fucking amazing.
All right, they was like, at the buzzer. Oh, that's how I felt.
Clock ran out. Oh my God. Like, honestly, an orgasm could not have been better than the feeling of watching this little girl kill this motherfucker, dog. Like, this show put us to the paces where it really was like, oh, they gonna lose.
Yes, I was like, he about to fuck her up.
Cause like, I've low-key been feeling like the Night King could win this shit, cause this is just the kind of show it is. I was like, oh, they could just lose this battle, and now the Night, now it's like the King's Landing to stop the Night King or some shit. And she fucking stabbed that nigga in the heart by switching hands, and he explodes in the icy shards. All his middle management explodes in the icy shards. And then the resurrected people just fall down like dominoes, and everybody is saved. Jor falls on the ground, and he's like, I'm hurt. And she, and Khaleesi is holding him. He's like, you really couldn't let me beat just once. I'm dead.
Just touch it, Khaleesi. You're the mother of dragons. Touch my snake.
Can I sniff it?
And then he dies, and then Drogon comes down and does like a kind of dragon hug, and then everybody in the crypt is safe. They leave. Arya looks at Bran. Bran looks at Arya, but there's no recognition in Bran. Like, he's just looking at her like she didn't save his life or nothing. He's like,
yeah, he just has a gaze about him. And the thing is, when Arya did it, it was literally like everybody else was playing defense, because the rest of the crew was like pent to the walls. I was like, oh, y'all about to die.
Yes. And then the Hound opens the door of the keep, and the Red Witch comes out the castle, and she walks off, takes off her necklace, and falls to her death in the snow. She turns back into an old woman, and I can't believe nobody tried to pick up her bad bitch necklace. They just left it out there. And you even see like her soul in the wind when she dies. Mm-hmm. And someone on Twitter hit me up and was like, but what about Melisandre? What they gonna do? I was like, she is dead. That was it.
I saw that on your Twitter.
I was like, it does not, I don't know what show you're watching. It does not get more final than what the fuck that was. Mm-hmm. And nothing that I have to ask, what the fuck was the plan gonna be without Melisandre anyway?
Come on.
She literally saved the whole, she was the MVP of this shit. She showed up, lit the fire, everything, inspired Arya with the prophecy, and then went out and died in the pasture on her own. If she didn't show up, none of the plan would have worked.
None of it.
Then they cut to Gendry, and he's in the kitchen wearing Arya's button down shirt, frying up some eggs and bacon. And, that was the end of the show. And then after that, Vice News came on and they covered the battle and gave us officially some summary of the how many people died and the damage total to everything. So I think the real MVP is Arya, because
yes, she is.
Every high school and college coach anybody's ever had is like, no sex before the big game, but Arya was like, I think I'm gonna go ahead and give it a try, coach. And she got out there and saved everybody's motherfucking life, man. So what are y'all looking forward to next week? I'll start first with you, Karen.
To see them go at Cersei, because now all the focus is going to be going towards Cersei. So it's going to be interesting to see their strategy, because they lost a lot of people.
They have 3 weeks to do it, three episodes. JL, what are you looking forward to next week?
Not going to lie, and don't play it, because I don't want to spoil it. I think that would be unfair. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to Euron being back just for this podcast.
Mm. Okay. I am looking forward to that, too.
But don't spoil it. You can't play it, because he's not officially in the plot yet.
I won't play it, but I mean, but it's his theme song. I feel like everybody knows.
That's his theme song.
Everybody knows what we're going to do when he comes back, man. I feel like we got to play it now.
Hey. Every time you take a step,
that's my man.
Hey, how you doing, little mama? Let me whisper.
Listen, and you do you know how ignorant he gonna be now that he got some pussy?
Oh, it's gonna be even worse now.
Like, you thought he was annoying before post coitus, this nigga's gonna be a fool next week. Oh my
he's
god,
he's definitely gonna like slap her ass in front of the mountain.
Yeah. Oh yes, yes. He's gonna do some ridiculous shit like propose in front of people so she can't say no, or some stupid shit like that.
I'm gonna say that I think he's gonna do some damage before he dies. Like, he's going to kill somebody we really like.
Mm-hmm.
And, but for me, other than finding out who's on the throne, I'm hoping, like, I think between Arya, the Mountain, and the Hound, two of those people are going to die. Mm. Like, of those three. I think you're going to have some sort of confrontation involving those three. And I need the Mountain to die, so I'm hoping that the Hound gets his redemption with that.
I'm kind of looking forward to a slow week. I think after you have a battle like this, next week we pick up the pieces of Winterfell.
I think we're gonna go through that.
We gotta start rebuilding that shit. We gotta have a bunch of arguing about like who all's going down there to help Danny. Hopefully this shit will end the petty ass squabble between Arya and Danny, because like
you mean
Sansa and Danny. Yeah. Because literally they could not have done this without each other, and they definitely could not have defended Winterfell without her.
Oh no.
Like, and we see at the end both of the dragons are alive, so she still got two dragons, which will help her face all those elephants. So we should still have a match. Now the two things I'm really thinking about, obviously number one is my man Euron, but number two Bronn is still out there with a crossbow in a mission to kill Jaime and Tyrion, and they don't know it.
Right.
So he can show up next week like, hey fellas, y'all won the battle. And I mean, what's gonna happen with that? You know, is he gonna come clean right away and be like, we cool, bros for hoes? Or is he gonna come through and be like, I got a fucking wagon of gold and I need to have my own keep?
Bronn can't do it. I mean, he could, like, because of the show.
Right.
Because of the way the show works, but that would be one of the most, that'd be like the most disappointing.
It would hurt if it was him that killed Tyrion and Jaime, because they've been through so much together and they seem so cool, and it just feels like he's the kind of guy that would tell them, like, your sister want me to kill y'all. I ain't gonna do it, but like, can you keep me out of this shit? Like, make sure y'all kill her or something, because if she find out I didn't kill y'all, I'm dead. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell her I ain't never seen you.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. But they didn't even show him in the preview, but I mean, that's got to come up soon. So yeah, that's it for this week, man. JL, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
this was a pleasure. I'm so glad I got to do it.
Oh man, I'm glad you were here. And then of course you should check out Making Podcasts Great Again. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the only podcast out there that I can like listen to Trump stuff about and not be mad. So
ain't that the truth? And JL, you got anything upcoming?
Yes, I'll be, to anybody out there in the Detroit area, I'll be headlining Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase May 17th and 18th. So tickets are on sale at aacomedy.com. So that sounds like an Alcoholics Anonymous like entertainment website, right. But it's aacomedy.com.
No drinks
so get
minimum.
Tickets for that.
No, right. No drinks maximum at aacomedy.com.
So as you said, yeah. So get tickets to that if you're in the Detroit area. And yes, Making Podcasts Great Again. We just put up a new episode today that's really good. So yeah, thank you.
And of course, programming note for all our like listeners that are premium, Balls D Sports is tomorrow morning at 10, and then the Nerd Off is Friday at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we got those shows coming up. I'm gonna try to sneak out and see the Intruder movie tomorrow night, so that should be a good time. Shout out to Michael Ealy getting it done, and I might be recapping that with Chris Lambert on his podcast. So
he asked me to see that as well.
Oh shit,
so it may be a three-person review because
crossover
for all the jokes. Mike, if I'm Trump, Michael Ealy and Megan Good have been my blacks for a long time.
Yeah, that's your man. That's your crew right there, man. I fuck with Ealy too.
That is my power couple. So
I'll be going to see Ealy movies on the low too. I saw that last one he did with Morris. Was it Morris Chestnut? No, the one where was Morris Chestnut in that joint too, where he was a stalker. Michael Ealy was a stalker that hid under the bed and shit.
Yeah.
I saw that. I see all the bad black movies with Michael Ealy in them. I don't care.
But he should have had a bigger, his career should be bigger than it is.
Yeah. I feel like they should do a shared universe of just those black movies that, you know what I'm talking about? They're all the same movie. It's like Morris Chestnut's normally in it, or Michael Ealy's in it. Everyone has a job that's like not really as lucrative as it looks in the movie, but in the movie they're like, they're living in a millionaire's mansion with a big car, but you're like, doesn't that job make $40,000 a year? And then so like I think they should do a shared universe of all the like black people do something and then some crazy stalker shit happens to them. So all right, last question before we get out of here, JL, what do you think Trump is looking forward to for next week's Game of Thrones?
Well, I want to see if finally we get Cersei and Jaime, if they can get back in bed together, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with a nice man being attracted to his attractive blonde blood relative. It's okay. We have no problem with that. You know, they're very tough. They're very tough in Westeros, so they don't mind who you love. They let you love who you love, even if you're blood relatives and immediate family members. So, Ivanka... let's, you know, let's do like they do in Westeros and make a kingdom together.
All right, guys. That's it for today, man. Thank you so much, JL. Thank you, everybody else. Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.